Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the International Masterminders Blog Talk Radio Show. My name is Michael Baptiste, and I will be your host along with the PWI Mastermind Group. And I'm here in our virtual studio with one of my mastermind partners, who we have on the call, Ms. Danelle McNeil.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to the International Masterminders Association Blog Talk Radio Station.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Danelle. Now, I know everybody here on the call is excited and ready for what we're going to jump into today. Now, we'd like to welcome all of you to our fourth call of the month, and we are so excited, so energized on this early Saturday morning to be on the air with all of you. So I invite you to call, text, email a family member or a friend, and you know, let them know we're on the air right now. And they can join us in the virtual studio and via the Internet by logging into www.blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. Or they can call us on the phone at 661-554-9219. And if you want to communicate with us while we're talking on the call, you can also do so. Join us in the chat room. Or you can also log on through your Facebook account. I know everybody's got Facebook, right? Make a comment on our Facebook fan page and let us know that you're listening to the show. Post your comments and your questions there as well. You know, we'll be monitoring the page while on the call, so definitely check us out. Definitely communicate with us. And today we will be continuing our discussion of Think and Grow Rich by recapping on Chapter 6, Organized Planning. Absolutely. Now, before we get started, Danelle, will you please tell our listeners a little bit about the International Masterminders Association?
But of course. The International Masterminders Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we come together committing ourselves as a group on a regular basis for coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people. Now, our founder, well, no, my mother always says that two people is a conversation, but it has to start somewhere. So we come together for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another and support one another in our goals and the achievement of our goals and our plans. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, and creativity. And if you joined us last week, you know that we were talking about creativity and imagination last week. Now, we all know, or at least most of us know, and some of us are learning that we have to have goals and plans if we're going to succeed in anything and everything that we do. As a matter of fact, Napoleon Hill states that education, knowledge, and influence is more powerful than any exchange of money. And we know that successful people must have plans in order to achieve anything that they want to do. For more information about the International Masterminders Association, you can visit us on the web at www.internationalmasterminders.com. And our Facebook is International Mastermind Association. Follow us by liking our page and say hello to our founder. And not only are we going to say hello to our founder, Ann McNeil, this morning, but we are also going to say happy birthday. We have the pleasure of hosting the call immediately after her birthday. And we like to invite her to speak and also receive all of the well-wishing happy birthday calls that we are confident everyone is going to come through with today.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
Absolutely. Happy birthday, Ann McNeil. It's a wonderful thing to be celebrating, you know. It's like, you know, the anniversary of your birth. It's just it only comes once a year. And it's your special day. Happy birthday, Ms. McNeil. Are you on the call?
Absolutely. Thank you. This is Ann McNeil, the Master Builder, building stronger and better lives. And thank you to everyone, and your well wishes on my birthday. Forever 20. Thank you.
And we have a very eager caller this morning, already 5 minutes after 8, and we'd like to open the line to speak. Caller with the last four digits, 3104.
Your line
is open. Birthday, and is Dudley.
Oh, my goodness. Good morning, Dudley. Thank you so very much for calling in, and thank you for your birthday wishes. We're so glad to have you on the radio with us this morning, and I hope you're planning on joining us at our mid-year conference on August 18th also. Thank you.
Absolutely wonderful. You know, it's always a beautiful thing to, you know, the birthday wishes and the birthday gifts and, you know, celebrating, hanging out with birthdays. I personally love birthdays because it's literally, they only come one time a year. And if you're celebrating them with special people, you know, that makes them even more special. So, once again, happy birthday, Ms. McNeil. And Danelle, are you ready to get started? Are you ready to jump into today's awesome, very exciting material?
I most definitely am.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about organized planning. Now, this is one fact that I will be honest that I have had many difficulties with, because I kind of just, you know, do things as they are, kind of go with the flow type of person and kind of wing things for the most part. But, you know, once I started getting into this chapter, Thank You, Bro Rich, I realized that you actually have to sit down, you have to take the time out, and you have to plan. Like, you have to look at every single area, you know, of your life, and you have to plan out pitfalls, you know, things that can go wrong, everything that can go right. You have to, you know, it's almost like you have to see four or five different avenues that you can take in order to accomplish your goal. Kind of like if you're driving to the gym, you know, there are several different streets you can take. Well, you have to have an organized plan for, you know, if you're going to turn right on 30th Street or turn left on 29th Avenue. And you have to, you know, fit all of these things into the plan. So, I just think organized planning, it's very critical in terms of, the, you know, success and what you're going after. Now, Danelle, I want to ask you, you know, in terms of organized planning, what does organized planning mean to you?
Excuse me. Well, actually, what I want to start off with is the definition of planning, because I am just learning. Well, that's not true. I am just incorporating organized planning into my life, believe it or not. And I'd like for everyone to know that planning is the process. So from the beginning until the very end, it's a process of setting goals, developing the strategies for those goals, and outlining the tasks and schedules to complete the goals. I've worked in construction for the past lot of years. I've worked in the construction industry, and if there is anything that is absolutely mandatory, a necessity, a requirement, without fail, it's planning. We have software that's dedicated only to the planning of a job from conception to completion. And as if that was not a reminder enough, planning is absolutely a necessity. Unfortunately, I've just started planning. I've just started to incorporate planning, and there are a lot of lessons that I've learned in my own life that I could have probably saved myself from having to learn had I done planning, or had I planned properly, had I done any type of planning for some of the things that I've wanted to do. So I do know that not just any type of planning is a necessity, but organized planning. We know, according to the book, that our achievements can be no greater than the plans that no greater than our sound plan. So organized planning, not just planning, but organized planning is a necessity. I like to think of organized planning also as our GPS systems. So most of us have most of us have cell phones, and a lot of us have GPS systems in our vehicles. And so when we set out on a trek to wherever, from here to New York, we know that we have to take X highway and we have to take this road, and we have our GPS system that tells us which way to go. Now, the thing about organized planning is, and we know this from our GPS systems, when one route doesn't work, we've driven too far, or, you know, there's a detour, it'll give us a plan B.
Mm-hmm.
And then get off course again, it'll give us a plan C. And that,
right,
to me,
right,
is really what organized planning is. It's having a plan. It's having multiple plans. It's having systematic plans.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you. I agree 100%. And, you know, just to kind of throw it in there, it's never too late to start planning. So for you to begin to organize planning right now, I think that is actually great. That is a great thing because, you know, it's never too late to do anything. And right now I want to dive into a couple of the 11 major factors of leadership in organized planning. Factor number one, unwavering courage. And this is based upon the knowledge of oneself and one's occupation. You know, no intelligent follower will be dominated by a leader who is not, you know, confident and courageous for very long. Number two, self-control. And the person who lacks self-control can never control others. And this is very, very true. Number three, a keen sense of justice. And, you know, without a sense of fairness and justice, no leader can command and retain the respect of his or her followers. Very true. Definiteness of decision. Oof, this is a good one. Now, individuals who waver in their decisions show that they are not sure of themselves and they cannot lead anyone successfully. Definiteness of plans. And this is very critical because all successful leaders must plan their work and work their plan. You know, leaders who move by guesswork without practical planning and definite plans are comparable to a ship without a rudder. Sooner or later, that ship will land and hit the rocks. Ouch. Number six, the habit of doing more than pay for. This is actually one of my favorites because this is the law of, you know, give, and take. Because the more you give, the more, you know, will come back to you. And one of the penalties of leadership is the necessity of willingness upon the part of the leaders to do more than required by their followers. Good point. Number seven, a pleasing personality. Now, no slovenly, careless person can become a successful leader. Leadership calls for respect. Followers will not respect a leader who does not grade high on all of the factors of a pleasing personality. Number eight, sympathy and understanding. Now, this is critical because all successful leaders must be sympathetic with their followers. Moreover, they must understand them and their problems. Number nine, mastery of detail. Now, successful leadership calls for mastery of details of all leadership positions. Number 10, the willingness to assume full responsibility. Now, this is a great point because it speaks on accountability. All successful leaders must be willing to assume responsibility for the mistakes and the shortcomings of their followers. If they try to shift this responsibility, they will not remain the leader. If one of their followers makes a mistake and demonstrates incompetence, the leaders must consider that this is they themselves who have failed. And number 11, the final major factor of leadership, is cooperation. Cooperation, that's it. You know, working together and building together. Because successful leaders, they must understand and apply the principle of cooperative effort and be able to induce their followers to do the same. Leadership calls for power, and power calls for cooperation. Cooperation is working together with other people to accomplish a single task. Now, all of those points, you know, all of those play a major part in leadership. But, you know, Danelle, I'd like to ask you, what do you think of those 11 major factors plays the biggest part in leadership?
Did you say the biggest problem in leadership?
No. I said which one of these factors plays the biggest part in leadership, the biggest part in leadership.
Oh, the biggest part in leadership.
Yeah, there you go. Uh-huh.
Wow. You know, I don't know if I could truly answer that because there are different leadership styles.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's say for what you do, you know, you as a certified teacher, which one of these factors plays the biggest part for you in your life and what you do?
The biggest part. Oh gosh, I don't know. Maybe a pleasing personality, definiteness of plans. I've gone into the classroom without any plans, and it showed. So planning was definitely, I learned the hard way, a must for me. But before I do go on to that, I want to add that one of the things that I'm excited about this chapter in chapter six, organized planning, is that we get to, even though the book has touched on the Mastermind Alliance, we really get to go into the introduction of it for those that are not familiar with the Mastermind Alliance. On what page would that be? On page 105, which is the first page of chapter 6, Napoleon Hill instructs us on how to build a mastermind alliance. The first step is to ally yourself with a group of as many people as you may need to create and carry out your plan or plans for the accumulation of money. And again, we state that it's not only about money. It could be about whatever your goals or desires are. To do this, you will make use of the mastermind principle. So for everyone that is not familiar with the mastermind principle, the mastermind alliance, here it is for you again in chapter 6, which is described in chapter 9 in its totality. Compliance with this instruction is absolutely essential. Do not neglect it. So Napoleon Hill himself tells us that the mastermind alliance is absolutely essential. Part 2, before forming your mastermind alliance, decide what advantages and benefits you may offer the individual members of your group in return for their cooperation. So before you really get into it, know what it is that you have to offer. Know what you're bringing to the table. And likewise, require and expect for the other people in your group to know what they're bringing to the table. And that's actually true of any relationship. Most relationships that we have, we know what it is that person brings to our life. And hopefully they can say the same for us. They can know, they can be able to say what it is that we do for them in their lives. No one will work indefinitely without some form of compensation. So there it is. I know what Michael, as my mastermind partner, does for me. No intelligent person will either request or expect another to work without adequate compensation. Part 3, arrange to meet with the members of your mastermind group at least twice a week. And
I'm
more
sorry,
often,
Danelle, what page are you on right now?
I'm on page 106 now. I turned the page for two parts, and now I'm on part 3, which is letter C.
Okay.
Arrange to meet with the members of your mastermind group at least twice a week and more often as possible until you have jointly perfected the necessary plan or plans for the accumulation of money. And the last part, maintain perfect harmony between yourself and every member of your mastermind group. If you fail to carry out this instruction to the letter, you may expect to meet with failure. The mastermind principle cannot obtain where perfect harmony does not prevail, and you'll hear us say, like-minded spirit, we have like-mindedness, and it is a requirement, because if you're talking about your plans and all of those 10 areas, it can get very personal, especially where you're talking about family and finances and that kind of thing. You must have perfect harmony in order to be able to receive from one another.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you know, you make some very good points there, because the mastermind principle, a lot of people, they don't necessarily dive deep into it. They don't have, you know, mastermind organizations. And I can honestly say, you know, being a part of a mastermind group, it definitely allows you to think outside of the box and, you know, attract more ideas that are going to help you at a much faster rate than if you were to just try to do things alone, you know, without that mastermind group. So what we like to do right now, we like to add, you know, invite any callers, anybody who is on the call. You know, if you have any comments, any questions, anything you'd like to share, a story, press one right now. Press one, you know, raise your hand and let us know that you want to jump on, you want to share with us, you know, you want to ask us a question, you like to answer a question, you like to, you know, throw in your 2 cents, whatever you like to do. You like to jump on the call, please press one right now. We are inviting all callers on the lines to jump on, ask a question, maybe make a comment, or share a story with us. We're here on the call today. So any callers on the line?
Yes, good morning. Thank you. This is Ann McNeil. Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go back to what Danelle was reading, and thank you for that, Danelle. It makes a very good point relative to when you think about organized planning of your goals and your dreams and your vision, what do you do next? How do you actually go from step one to step two to step three? And as Danelle just read from the book, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill on page 105 and 106, you really want to start with a mastermind group, a group of like-minded and like-spirited people who will hold you accountable to your goals. And so what I'd like to do with that point is ask each one of you the question, if you would share with us, at least one testimonial goal that you've achieved since you've been masterminding together, because we are preparing for our mid-year meeting for the International Mastermind Association on the 18th of August, and we want to encourage our listeners to come and join us. And what we're doing this month is we're highlighting the stories and highlighting the testimonials so that we can all encourage each other and be encouraged by the fact that this system does work if you work it. It's not the only system, but at least it's one that we have found that works for us. So would each of you be willing to share at least one story with all of us? Thanks.
Oh, thank you, Ms. McNeil. Danelle, you have any stories you'd like to share about organized planning?
Story about the masterminding process and how you've used organized planning as you've masterminded. See, masterminding and organized planning go hand in hand. In other words, when you write your goals as you mastermind, right, you bring those goals back to your mastermind group who help you to develop a plan by which to execute your goals, your vision, your mission. So my question to each of you is, can you give us an example of how you've used organized planning as you mastermind to achieve any particular, at least one goal for our listening audience? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I can offer, I don't really know if this is under organized planning, but some time back, I was having a conversation with my sister, Ione McNeil, and there were some things that we shared, and I decided that I wanted to also incorporate that. And it was, I believe, after our face-to-face mastermind meeting that we had at my home, and I was sharing that with Michael, and he said, let's do it. Come on, let's do it. And I said, really? And he said, yeah, sure, let's do it. Why not? And that, and it consisted of us calling one another every morning. We call one, well, Michael calls me every morning at 6 a.m., and he is bright and early and ready. I am not so much. But he calls every morning consistently, and we say our affirmation statements. And that's very, very, very important to me because while I already may have my affirmation statement written out somewhere, the process of saying it out loud to someone and then them affirming it, it makes a world of difference. So that's what my Mastermind Alliance thus far has been able to help me do in keeping not just my goals, but the very things that I call myself, the very things that I see myself as being and doing and living. I'm calling those out every morning. And there was once I wasn't ready, and I called him back, and it was maybe 3 hours later, and he said, "Okay, yeah, I understand you overslept, but I trust you will be ready from now on at 6 a.m. And yes, sir. So that's what my Mastermind Alliance has done for me, and it has helped. It's changed a lot for me.
Absolutely wonderful. Thank you for sharing that, Danelle. I also would like to touch upon that story because basically waking up at 6 a.m. Something that we planned with our Mastermind group, and I've been up every morning reading my affirmations with Danelle. And, you know, since we've been doing it, I've been seeing a bit of a transformation happen. Some of the things that I've been affirming have been, you know, coming into existence. For example, one of my affirmations has been, "I'm the best basketball player in the world." And by the way, I play basketball for the University of Florida Memorial. I'm on the team there. So we've been doing a couple summer league games, and I started, you know, using my affirmations, started saying them and repeating them. And I would notice, during the basketball games that we have in the summer league we're playing in, we win a few games. We win by 8, you know, we win by 4. It was close games. And then I start, you know, speaking out into existence that I'm the best basketball player in the world. And, you know, I visualize and I'm grateful for the fact that I'm the best. And, you know, there's nobody better than me, you know, through my affirmations. And so the last couple games, you know, our team's been winning about 20, 25, 30. And my performances have been, you know, I've been performing great. You know, I make at least, you know, 60, 70% of all the shots that I take. I'll encourage my teammates to play better. You know, I'll communicate with my teammates while on the court, giving them that confidence that I've got to help. You know, I'm there for them if they get beat or if they need to make a pass or, you know, anything. If they need somebody to get the rebound, I let my teammates know that I'm there for them. And affirming it to myself continuously every single morning with Danelle, I've been seeing the results. And so that's how, you know, using the Mastermind group and applying the organized planning methods have been helping me in one area of my life, which is on the basketball court. So, yeah, just definitely wanted to share that with everybody. Now, I would like to take the time now to bring us to our first commercial break.
You're listening to International Masterminders Association, and we're exploring excitedly the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and other shows anytime on the web or join us live by calling into the show at 661-554-9219. Again, the call-in number is 661-554-9219. If you want to communicate with us while we're talking, just press 1. Or you can also join us in the chat room, or you can log on through your Facebook account. Now, what I'd also like to mention, Michael, to our listeners, is that this show, which is the fourth show of July, is our last hosting call of the month. And later in the show, our listeners will be hearing from your host for the month of August, the Anointed Mastermind Group, Beatrice Louis Saint, Rufus Curry Jr., and Miss Angela M. Williams. And as I have mentioned before, they are the epitome of a great mastermind group. They've been doing this for a very long time, and they are a very accomplished group. So I'm excited for the month of August, not only because it's my birthday, but because of this great mastermind group that we'll be hosting. So we definitely invite them to call in and speak to our listeners and join us on this talk for Chapter 6.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So definitely excited for you guys to jump on a little bit later on and, you know, share with us what you guys got planned for us for the month of August.
Yes.
Now getting back into things, the next topic we're going to touch on is the 8 must for an effective resume. And now, Janelle, would you like to jump in and, you know, tell our listeners, tell our callers a little bit about the eight must for an effective resume?
Yes, I would. I noticed I was on Facebook this morning and I saw a post that read something like, "Can't find a job. The bills keep coming in. The can't find a job, but the bills keep coming in." And I know that to be true for a lot of people, and I know that there are, as there always is, that there are a lot of people that do not have jobs. And just maybe 2 Sundays ago, someone in worship service asked me to take a look at their resume and let them know what's required on a resume and that kind of thing. So I just thought that it was very fitting since the 8 musts for an effective resume, according to Napoleon Hill, is a part of this chapter. And I'd like to also invite a young lady who has a business that is solely dedicated to helping people find jobs. And it's not an employment agency, but she actually, you know, will revamp your resume, tighten it up, and help you with those interviewing skills. But on page 117 in the Think and Grow Rich book, the version of Think and Grow Rich that makes all others obsolete, on page 117 in chapter 6, Napoleon Hill lists the 8 musts for an effective resume. Number 1 is education. State briefly but specifically what education you have had and in what subjects you specialize. Number 2 is experience, so you also want to have your experience on your resume. And references. I see a lot of times at the bottom of resumes references available upon request. And I'd like to invite Ms. Dudley Paul Etienne to the call to let us know about that, because when I was in management, I would always think to myself when I saw it at the bottom of the resume, well, don't wait for me to ask for your references. Just give them to me. You didn't wait to be invited to apply. Just give. That's just my opinion. That's just me. That might not be standard. That might not be industry. But my thinking is don't wait for it to be asked for. Go on ahead and give it with the resume, and then, you know, that's that much more information that they have that you could possibly be selected with. On page 118, it's also suggested that a photograph be attached to a resume. Number 5, apply for a specific position. 6, state your qualifications. 7, offer to go to work on probation, which a lot of employers do automatically right off the rip.
Mm-hmm.
Number 8, knowledge of your prospective employer's business. I have a very short story about this. Years ago, in between my construction working, I applied for a job at the Gap. And at this time, or prior to this time, Gap did not have any commercials, if anyone can remember that. Gap never used to advertise. They never used to advertise. And this was maybe about 14 years ago, and they had their first commercial. And I made mention of that in the interview, and later on, the lady that hired me at the Gap, yes, I worked at the Gap for maybe 2 months, but the lady hired me And she told me later that it was because I had that knowledge, it was because I had that information that the Gap was new to advertise. Well, they didn't do commercials. That's really what it was. They had no commercials out. And she was impressed by that. So we know now that knowledge of our prospective employer's business, not only their business, but the industry also helps as well. I'd like to find out if Dudley is on the line so that she can speak about her experience and her business as it's related to this.
Mm-hmm. Is she on the call?
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, is she on the call?
Hello?
Hello, yes? Caller, your line is open.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
My name is Dudley Paul Etienne, the owner of Dudley Professional Services. And, yes, I do provide resume services, which I revamp or create resumes for individuals, and I also do workshops. And I wanted to touch bases on when Danelle said something about the references. I believe there's three ways you could let the one that's basically looking at your resume, you know, ask for references from you. You could indicate that, number one, you can indicate that on your cover letter, you know. Always, number one, always attach a cover letter, whether it's in the body of the email or you attach it. Indicate that you have that you do have references that can vouch for you. And also, do not list in the bottom of your resume, you know, references upon request. Take that off. Because usually when you do the applications, they ask for that. Or number three, you can attach actual reference letters from, you know, old supervisors or people that know you, that have known you for a while, that hold, you know, different positions and hold high positions in whatever company that they work for. Those are the three ways you can submit a cover letter. And Danelle mentioned something about attaching your picture on your resume. That's a no-no. The reason why I say that is because I looked at resumes that came in, and anything that has a pictures on there is tossed. Because you have to imagine, first of all, a lot of people are very judgmental first when they're doing the whole hiring process. And by seeing your picture already, there's no telling how they might take it. Unlike if you come in for the interview, let's just say you have a lot of experience, but you look like you're only about 26 on your picture. They're not sure about you. Unlike if you came in and you spoke and you sound very knowledgeable and very respectful and, you know, and pleasant, you'll have a better chance being judged by who you are than what you look like. That's just what it is. And a lot of things I see people do on their resume is when they apply for a job, like Danelle say, apply for something that you know. Apply for a job that you know you can make just minor changes on your resume just to kind of meet those qualifications. Because no one wants to get a resume that do not meet none of the qualifications that you're applying for. Number one, you're wasting their time, and you're wasting your own time just hoping and praying they'll give you a call back. And another thing people, like Danelle touched on, was when a company actually calls you to come in for an interview, research. Everyone loves when you know stuff about them. So when you come in there, you speak about what you know of the company, you know, a brief information about their history, you make them feel great. And they know if they hire you, you'll be more of an investment for their company because you actually took the time to research them. That means you will give them good work. No one wants to hire anybody that's not going to be profitable for them. So, with that and the education, make sure you list things that are important, your education, your qualifications, and for those who work different positions, like you was an accountant for one company and another company you were a receptionist, you know, different positions, that's okay. You can put all that in your resume, but make sure before you start on your job description, there should be a section that says summary qualifications. You list all the things that you are good at because it can use you for just more than just one thing in the company. So either or if you're someone that has stayed in the position for so long but you're trying to do a transition, create a summary qualification section that basically talks about your other qualifications, because usually if you were an accountant, you were responsible for doing other things as well, too, at another company. So list all that in there and make sure your objective basically triggers and targets whatever the position is for. Do not leave it broad. Thanks. Any questions?
Thank you, Dudley. Thank you for that. Thank you for that information. I trust that we will be seeing you at the mid-year, August 18th, in Boca Raton. For anyone who would like more information about the International Masterminders Association, IMA mid-year conference, please check out the website at internationalmasterminders.com. Are there any questions for Dudley? Thank you, Dudley, for sharing that information. Oh, yes,
no problem.
Absolutely, absolutely. That was great information. I definitely picked up a lot of that. Now, what would you say, Dudley, is like the most, you know, like that one thing you can put on a resume that an employer will see and say, whoa, you know, we got to hire this person. Or, you know, whoa, let's interview this person tomorrow. You know, what's the one factor you can include on a resume that would just pretty much be game-changing for you?
For example, let's just say the posting goes out for the particular job position, and
mm-hmm.
if whatever you have on your resume matches up, or you know at least 80% it matches up to what they ask for, they're calling you in. But that is very simple, but some people think they have to send out a fancy resume or do different designs. It doesn't consist of all that. It's basically matching up what they want. And this is what they do. They take their job description. If it's not the person if they have someone that's reviewing your resume that actually knows the position, they're running through to make sure, okay, this is exactly what I want. Or they take that job description and put it right next to your resume and just line it up and make sure. That will call you in. It's very simple. Just make sure you match up with what they need.
Okay, I got you. So,
or if you don't have the experience, at least the volunteer work, or whatever experience you do have, kind of have it match up to what their requirements are.
Okay. So pretty much, you just have to make sure that you're a match to what they're asking for, like almost exactly matching what they're asking for.
Exactly, and show how you benefit the company that you work for. For example, they're looking for accounts receivable, and you know how to do certain things in accounts receivable dealing with construction. Put that on there to see how you profit the company. And mention, I helped bring billing up to, I helped I collected over, let's say, $50,000 from a contractor that we've been trying to collect money from over a year. You know, list what did you do to profit for the company? That's you're profitable. You're someone they're going to need on a team to help, make them reach the goal that they're trying to reach. Show what you've done in that position, not just list all the things you've done. Show how you benefit the company.
Okay.
And adding to that, on page 120 in chapter 6, on page 120, there's a section that talks about how to get the exact position you desire. And again, this is all a part of organized planning, because you can very well see a job, see a position, see an opportunity that you'd like to have, but if you haven't planned in an organized fashion,
mm-hmm.
how you intend to go about that, you could send out a resume, and it could be boss. It could be an awesome resume, and they call you, all right, come see us, but you're not ready. You don't have the outfit, you just not planned it. So all a part of organized planning, how to get the exact position you desire, page 120. First, decide and define briefly in writing. Remember, we talked about in writing and the importance of putting things in writing last week when we discussed imagination. Decide and define briefly in writing exactly what kind of job you desire. If the job does not already exist, perhaps you can create it. See the need. Second, choose the specific company or the specific individual for whom you wish to work. And a good number of us can attest to doing that. Third, study your prospective employer as to policies, personnel, and chances of advancement. And as Dudley has mentioned, study your potential employer's industry and business. Know who their competition is. And again, like we mentioned earlier in the call, know what it is that you can bring to the table. How can you, as our founder Anne McNeil says, how can you add value to that company? Not just how they can add value to you by helping you to make sure FPL does not get you. Fourth, by analysis of yourself, your talents and capabilities, figure out what you can offer and plan ways and means of giving advantages, services, developments, and ideas that you believe you can successfully deliver. We just said that. Forget about a job. Forget whether or not there is an opening. Forget the usual routine of, have you got a job for me? Concentrate on what you can give. How can you add value? And that is a buzzword now, adding value, or I guess a buzz phrase. Sixth, once you have your plan in mind, arrange with an experienced writer to put it on paper. Give Dudley a call. She'll let you know how you can do that. In neat form and in full detail. And seventh, present it to the proper person with authority, and he or she will do the rest. Every company is looking for people who can give something of value, whether it be ideas, services, or connections. And we'll be telling you about the Side Hustle Connect work later on, too. Every company has room for the individual who has a definite plan of action, which is to the advantage of that company. So I thought it was very important to make mention of that and all of that. Is there anything that anyone else would like to add to that?
No, that was definitely a great job, Danelle. It was a good job.
Thank you, Dudley. How can people get in contact with you? Is Dudley still on the line?
Yeah, my line's open. Go ahead, Dudley.
Hello?
Yes.
You can reach me. My number is 305-974-3104, or you can email me at resumerus008@gmail.com. I'm going to spell it out for you. It's resume, resume, the letter R, us008@gmail.com.
Thank you, Dudley. And the final thing that I'll mention about that is when you give Dudley a call, she'll tell you this thing that Dudley is doing now where she's offering a service, where she's offering a service for you on a weekly basis, where she takes care of all of that for you. And I thought that was absolutely genius, Dudley, when I saw that. So I encourage all of you to share that information. It is very beneficial. The work that she does is top-notch. So thank you very much, Dudley, for calling in.
What Danelle just spoke about is called a job search. It's for individuals that are too busy to look for another job, to sit in front of the computer and search for work, or someone that already has a job, or just individuals that are unemployed, but, you know, you just don't know how to look for them or what to really submit. What I do is take your resume. Of course, I critique it. You know, I would not send out anything that I believe needs, you know, some little revamping. I let you know, and then you can turn around, get it done for me, or you can make the changes yourself. And what I do is I send it out to a certain amount of companies every day, from Monday through Friday, and I will let you know the results on what are the outcomes, if they're calling for interview, have they received it or not. So definitely it's a great program. It's a great program I have, and the fees are very feasible. So definitely give me a call or email me.
Thank you, Dudley. And you will see Dudley on August 18th at the IMA Mid-Year Conference at the Embassy Suites in Boca Raton. I'll give you that address, 661
okay.
Northwest 53rd Street, Boca Raton, Florida. The zip code is 33487. Again, at the Embassy Suites at in Boca Raton, August 18th. We are starting at 9 a.m., and we guarantee that you will find it to be extremely, extremely beneficial. So you'll be able to meet Dudley there and continue that dialogue with her.
Yes.
Michael, would you like to go to a break now?
Yes, absolutely.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And for more information about the International Masterminders Association, please visit us on the web at www.internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook at the International Mastermind Association. Follow us. Follow us on our page. The name of the book, once again, is Think and Grow Rich, the original version, Restored and Revised, the version of Think and Grow Rich that makes all others obsolete. Absolutely. So we definitely have been having a very interesting show this morning, very interesting for all the callers who have been in. And now I'd like to take everybody and take all of us on this call now to one of the most critical parts of Think and Grow Rich, the QQS rating. Now, what is the QQS rating? The QQS formula, is basically quality plus quantity plus the proper spirit of cooperation equals perfect salesmanship of service. Now, just to analyze the formula quickly so we can exactly understand what it means. Quality of service should be construed to mean the performance of every detail and connection with your position in the most efficient manner possible, with the object of greater efficiency always in mind. Number two, quantity. Now, the quantity of service should be understood to mean the habit, the habit of rendering all the service of which you are capable at all times, with the purpose of increasing the amount of service rendered as a greater skill is developed through the practice and experience. Emphasis is again placed on the word habit, meaning that if you make it a habit of delivering more service than you actually paid for and than you asked for, good things will happen in your favor. And number three is the spirit of service, which shall be construed to mean that the habit of agreeable, harmonious conduct which will induce cooperation from associates and fellow employees. Adequacy of quality and quantity of service is not sufficient to maintain a permanent market for your services. The conduct or the spirit in which you deliver your service is a strong determining factor in connection with both the price you receive and the duration of your employment. Wow. So the QQS formula is basically the formula that will, if you have a business, allow you to stay in business, for several decades. If you if you are an employee, we'll allow you to have a job, and not only have a job, but get promoted and move up in terms of pay and in terms of position. QQS, it works in every area of our lives. So I'll give you an interesting story of how I started applying this QQS formula in my life. So I go to school at Florida Moore University, and I just thought to myself, wow, I need to just start giving more of myself, and I just want to help more people, and I'm going to do it with a smile on my face and be happy to do it just because I want to test it out, see what happens. So I go into the career development center at my school, and I go in there, two ladies, and I'm like, hey, how you guys doing? We have a little conversation, and I finish the conversation letting them know, listen, ladies, if there's anything I can do, anything I can do to help you guys out, please let me know, and I will drop what I'm doing. I'll bend over backwards. I'll run through a wall for you. I'll do anything you need. And so I started volunteering, helping them out, plan out certain things on campus, certain events, and I even helped them out with one program called the Beat Program. They asked me for help. I came by. I said, you guys need some help, with the event and, speaking for the event. I said, listen, I will volunteer myself to speak for the event. I volunteer to show the employees coming on campus. I'll volunteer to show them around and be their, you know, tour guide for the event. Okay, so it went good. Following this, I did a great job, you know, and every single event from that point on, they called me for it, and they used me kind of for everything. I had no problem with it. I had a great time. But what eventually started happening is I started meeting people at these events, and people started helping me out. And I was invited to the Dade County Commerce Luncheon. It was a very special event, you know, because I was helping, you know, I was going to help and volunteer my time to the Career Development Center. So they sent me to this luncheon. And at this luncheon, they didn't know what I was getting into, but I see all these business owners and all these, you know, well-established people, people who are very successful, doing great for themselves, their businesses are flourishing. And I'm like, I'm just surprised, like, wow, I didn't know all these people, you know, exist in Miami. So it was great. And as I'm sitting at the table having my lunch, a lady walks up to me, and she greets herself. I say, hello, how you doing, Michael? And she shakes her hand. She shakes my hand, and she's talking to the gentleman sitting next to me. But as she shakes my hand, she holds on to my hand. I'm like, what's going on? Like, what's going on? And she keeps holding my hand. She keeps holding my hand. I'm like, okay, I didn't know what that was about. And so she walks away. And I see her at the end of the event, and I speak to her. I'm like, hey, how you doing? And we speak more. And I come to find out this lady was Ann McNeil. I'm like, okay, who is Ann McNeil? And so I started asking people around. They started telling me about it. I'm like, oh, that's Ann McNeil. Right? I'm like, oh, that's Ann McNeil. Okay, I didn't know who was shaking my hand, but now I know. Let me go find her. And so I meet back up with her. We speak more. She tells me, you know, make sure you speak with everybody here at the event. Go grab everybody's business card and, you know, try to make more contacts. And I do that. And I end up getting Ms. McNeil's phone number. And we start having a few conversations. And from there, you know, she brings me on board with the Mastermind organization, the Mastermind Association. And since then, my life has completely changed. I've been able to manifest my goals, and I've been able to do some really amazing things over the last couple months. And it's been phenomenal. I see a huge transition in my life. My mindset's changed. I'm reading more books. More things are happening for me with my online business, basketball-wise, school-wise. Things are just going really great for me in my life, and I just see the growth happening, and I see the potential, how far I can go, and how powerful my mind is. I see it all happening, and it literally all started because I began applying the QQS formula. You know, I started living quality service, a lot of service. You know, that's quantity, and I was just happy about it. I was always in a very cheerful, positive, uppity spirit about it. And since then, things have been going great for me. I mean, I'm here on the call right now because I started applying this QQS formula back in early January. And here I am now. So I just wanted to share that. I thought that would be very interesting for all the callers today. And QQS formula is wonderful. I love it.
And Michael, I'd like to also, I think it's also worth mentioning, can you read that first chat, the first paragraph on page 125, which is a continuation of number 3?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Absolutely. So, in continuation, the fact that he would, and now this is speaking of Andrew Carnegie, the fact that he would not retain any person, no matter how great a quantity or how efficient the quality of that person's work, unless the individual worked in a spirit of harmony. Mr. Carnegie insisted upon people being agreeable. To prove that he placed a high value upon this quality, he permitted many individuals who conformed to his standards to become very wealthy. Those who did not conform had to make room for others.
Wow. So I think that's very important. I also had the honor of working with/for my mother for a number of years, and she would always tell me, you know, Danelle, there are certain things that you cannot teach people. There are certain things that you can, but then there are certain things that you can't, and you can't teach people attitude. And she was always very quick to hire people, as many people who have worked at MCO can also attest to. And the best people always, always without fail, had very pleasant attitudes, very, 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 very pleasant attitudes, and those were her favorites. She may say that she didn't have favorites, but we all know she had favorites. And those were those people that had the best attitudes, had the can-do attitudes. They did it. They did it without complaining. They did it without showing that, you know, that even though we were at work, it was a nuisance. And so just what the book states, how far Andrew Carnegie went with it, where you were almost guaranteed to excel, and he would make sure of it, provided that you were harmonious and agreeable in your attitude. So having a pleasant attitude for me, and I've had to learn that, not that I've had a bad attitude all my life, but it's not been as pleasant as it can be in this current day. And I've had to learn how to cultivate a pleasant attitude. And I've watched those people that my mother has employed over the years. So let's learn to be harmonious and agreeable, even when it's not so easy to do so. Michael, before we go on, I would like to read the second to last paragraph. No, the very last paragraph of page 125, and then we can go to a commercial break right after that. The capital value of your services. The very last paragraph on page 125 states, the day of the go-getter has passed. And I repeat, the day of the go-getter has passed. The go-getter has been supplanted by the go-giver. The go-giver. High-pressure methods in business finally blew off the lid. There will never be the need to put the lid back on, because in the future, business will be conducted by methods that will require no pressure. So the day of the go-getter is rather over, has come to an end, and now we're hearing a lot more about giving, 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 giving. So I'd like to, at this point, before we go on to commercial, encourage people to be harmonious and agreeable, as well as being go-givers. And we can go to commercial.
Absolutely. Thank you, Janelle, for that information. And now for more information about the International Masterminders Association, please visit us on the web at www.internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook at International Masterminders Association. Follow us by liking our page. The name of the book, again, is Think and Grow Rich, the original version, Restored and Revised, by Napoleon Hill. And this is the version of Think and Grow Rich that makes all others obsolete. Now, we definitely have been covering a lot of information today in terms of organized planning. Some major factors for leadership. We've touched on some must-haves in order to have an effective resume. We've also spoke about the quality, the quantity, and the spirit of the service that you render. And we've also spoken upon the go-getter, how the go-getter's dead, and it's all about the go-giver, how things have changed now in the business world. But now, one thing I'd like to touch on is self-analysis, taking an inventory on yourself. I think a lot of times we as people, we just go about our daily lives and go about our daily rituals and habits, and we don't really stop to think nor ask ourselves, why is it that we do what we do, why is it that we put the left sock on before the right sock? Why is it that, we take a shower in the morning, or, we eat breakfast, or, we don't eat breakfast in the morning? Like, why is it that we do these things? And even in terms of success and failure, why is it that we succeed at some things and we fail at other things? So this part about self-analysis, I think it's very critical, very key, that we dive into it just a little bit, because these questions here are questions that you can, you know, take some time to ask yourself, you know, really take a day to answer each question and look in the mirror and ask yourself, you know, a few of these questions. So we'll just cover a few because we don't, I don't want to overlap the time frame we have. So a few questions that you should answer in terms of self-analysis. Question number one, have I attained the goal which I established as my objectives for this year? And you should work with a definite yearly objective to be attained as a part of your major life objective. Number two, have I delivered?
Wait,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Pardon me for just 30 seconds. If the answer, if your answer to any of these questions, if you have, now there are 28 questions. Out of 28 questions, if you have at least one no, then you need to be making a visit to us on August 18th at the mid-year conference so that we can help you turn these no's into yeses. Remember, August 18th, IMA mid-year conference, Boca Raton. Visit the website, internationalmasterminders.com, for more information. Okay, thanks, Michael.
Absolutely. And, okay, so number two, and it's this list of questions that you should answer to yourself. Have I delivered this service of the best possible quality which I was capable? Or could I have improved any part of this service? Have I delivered service in the greatest possible quantity which I was capable? That's number three. Number four, has the spirit of my conduct been harmonious and cooperative at all times? Number five, have I permitted the habit of procrastination to decrease my efficiency, and if so, to what extent? Number six, have I improved my personality, and if so, in what ways? Number seven, have I been persistent in following my plans through to completion? Number eight, have I reached decisions promptly and definitely on all occasions? Number nine, have I permitted any one or more of the six basic fears to decrease my efficiency? Number 10, have I been either overcautious or undercautious? Number 11, has my relationship with my associates in work been pleasant or unpleasant? If it has been unpleasant, you know, has the fault been partially or wholly my fault?
Be honest.
Mm-hmm. Number 12, have I dissipated any of my energy through a lack of concentration on my effort? Number 13, have I been open-minded and tolerant in connection with all subjects? As you can see, we're diving pretty deep. These are really touching into some of the emotions that we have inside, you know, and so. Yeah, I mean, it takes a lot of courage, and it's going to take a lot to sit down and really answer these questions to yourself. But in order to be successful, in order to be where you want to be, in order to obtain your goals, you really have to take the time out to ask yourself these questions, you know. Okay, so we'll get into a few more, just a few more. Number 14, in what way have I improved my ability to render service? Number 15, have I been intemperate in any of my habits? Number 16, have I expressed either openly or secretly any form of egotism? Number 17, has my conduct toward my associates been such that it has induced their respect to me? And number 18, have my opinions and decisions been based upon my guesswork or my accuracy of analysis and thought? Number 19, have I followed the habit of budgeting my time, my expenses, and my income, and have I been conservative in these budgets? And the last one we'll jump into, number 20, how much time have I devoted to unprofitable effort, which I might have been used somewhere else, which might have been used somewhere else to better advantage? Now, these are questions for self-analysis. These are the tough questions you have to ask yourself, because at the end of the day, you know, you're the only one who's laying your head down on that pillow. So if you aren't where you want to be, it's not no one else's fault. It's really you. You have to really look down inside, dig down inside, and kind of find out what's making you tick. You know, why is it that you do what you do? You know, why is it that you break down certain times during the day, or, you know, when certain situations arise? Why is it that you handle challenges the way you do? You know, why is it that you need coffee before you, you know, perform such an activity? Why is it that you need to 10 minutes to get started before you, you know, do your work, or before you work out, or whatever it is, whatever the case may be? Why? Why? Absolutely. Now, Danelle, do you have anything that you'd like to add to, you know, this this take inventory of yourself section?
But of course I do. Before I go on, I'd like to read the ISBN number so that our listeners know which version that we're reading from and which version they can come prepared with when they come visit us on when? Yes, August 18th. The ISBN number of the version of Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill that we are using every Saturday morning here on Blog Talk Radio at 8 a.m. is 159-330-2002. Again, the ISBN number is 159-330-2002. And I won't go into depth, but I would like to read the 30 major causes of failure, because, Michael, you just asked why. And I would pretty much guesstimate that for a lot of us, the why can be found somewhere in this list, probably multiple locations in this list of 30 major causes of failure. The first is unfavorable hereditary background. The second, lack of a well-defined purpose in life. Three, lack of ambition to aim above mediocrity. Four, insufficient education. Five, lack of self-discipline. I can attest to that one. Six, ill health, and before I continue, remember, I'm reading the list, you're hearing it, but the one thing that we all have to make sure that we do is to be honest with ourselves. Number seven, unfavorable environmental influences during childhood. So some of the items on this list we can help. Some of them we can't, so let's focus on the ones that we can. Especially the next one, procrastination, lack of persistence, negative personality, lack of controlled sexual urge. The next group will be reading about that one. Uncontrolled desire for something for nothing. We read about that a lot. Lack of a well-defined power of decision. One or more of the six basic fears: wrong selection of a mate in marriage. Watch that. Number 16, overcaution. Wrong selection of associates in business. My mother always says that business associates and business relationships and business contracts are just like being in a marriage. So, wrong selection of associates in business, wrong selection of life mate. They have a lot to do with one another. Superstition and prejudice, wrong selection of a vocation. If you are in the wrong selection, if you selected the wrong vocation, do something about getting out of it. Crying and bemoaning about not liking your job is not going to make things any better. And then we end up giving poor service. And I can only speak for me. I know for a fact that I have been a part of that. So I can definitely speak for number 19, wrong selection of a vocation. Lack of concentration of effort. The habit of indiscriminate spending. Lack of enthusiasm. Intolerance. Intemperance. Inability to cooperate with others. Possession of power that was not acquired through self-effort. Gimme. Intentional dishonesty, egotism, and vanity. Guessing instead of thinking. We hear that a lot. I guess not. I guess. Lack of capital. And that was the 30th one. Here, name any particular cause of failure from which you have suffered that has not been included in the foregoing list. So just because there are 30 does not mean that there can't be a 31 if it applies to you. Again, don't just identify it, but identify it and then work to correct it, however you need to work to correct it. And you can probably find those great instructions on how to work to correct it on August 18th. So I did want to add that, the reading of that list, Michael. And if we have any callers that would like to add to or make questions, I'd also like to invite the Anointed Mastermind Group, your host, for the month of August to join in so that the listening audience can also hear from them.
Absolutely. If we have any callers on the line who have anything they'd like to ask or share, please raise your hand, press 1 on the line, and we can open your lines up. Callers. Once again, if we have any callers who would like to make a comment, ask a question, or maybe share a personal story, we advise you callers to press 1 right now. We will open your lines up.
Okay. Is Ann still on the call? Oh, there is a caller in queue.
Okay. Caller, go right ahead. Caller, your line is open.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
This is Miss Freda.
Good morning.
I have been listening since you guys started. And I have been on hold the entire time because of my choice. And I pushed the button, you guys didn't see me, but I have just been so enthralled in listening to you this morning and just following the conversation. And I wanted to, as you all are coming to maybe the last 12 or 10 minutes of your show, to just tell you that both of you have done such a wonderful job this month. And I have really found something I really enjoy in the morning, get me up out of the bed in the morning, that's your show. So thank you for that. And it's very enlightening, extremely exciting. And, you know, if the hard work, the last thing some people want to do is get up at 8 o'clock in the morning, that's your day to sleep a little late, to lounge around a bit more. But I must admit that even in the midst of my resting from a long week, this is a wonderful, wonderful way to start your morning. To be encouraged to push forward, to do more than what you're doing already, and to also organize those plans and thoughts. And I heard our president earlier, Ms. McNeil, request that, you know, as callers call in, if you are a part of Mastermind, to share your stories in terms of, you know, what have you done or what has the organization done for you in terms of your planning and so forth. And I must say that through the raising of my daughters who are now both graduated, one of them is just now about to start college, my last daughter, and I must say that this process has been extremely instrumental in helping me to organize how I change their educational process and getting them situated. Samantha is doing extremely well now, and I'm so proud of all the accomplishments she has made. In her graduation, she started out about her junior year, her middle school years, if you will, where there was some challenge with her GPA, some challenge with her skills, her reading level, She was two reading levels behind her age level and her grade level, and we just were a little concerned. So we made some changes. I made some, wrote down some desires and some thoughts and did an action plan, put an action plan together on how to help her turn this around. And without going into a whole lot of detail, I'm pleased to say that she graduated with a 3.78 GPA. She is beyond reading level. And I'm very, very proud of her. And it's through the mastermind process that kind of helped me make some mommy decisions to help her have a better future and a better opportunity. And because of that, she will be attending Florida Memorial University in the fall. She will be sitting on campus, and I'm very proud of her. So thank you, Mastermind, and the process, and all of those that have been supportive through the years. As a single parent, this is a wonderful support system. And as a person that also has dreams and goals outside of just being a wonderful person to help others, you also have things that you want to do and accomplish. And I must say that Mastermind has helped me put all those things in some type of perspective and give me an organizational plan to get to those dreams and goals. So I thank you all so much. And again, the two of you have done a tremendous job on this show. A wonderful, wonderful opportunity has been to sit and listen to you guys each morning. So thank you both so very much.
Thank you, and congratulations. That's a really big thing for her GPA to keep up like that. Congratulations to all of you as well.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Well, I'm going to continue to listen. You guys have a wonderful day. And again, thank you both so very much.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, so thank you for sharing. I know you're very proud of your daughter. That's a big accomplishment for her to be taking that step. And I mean, for any parent to have the child go from, you know, that level to now they're preparing to go to college, that is absolutely awesome. I know you're proud of her, and you know, wonderful job for helping her, you know, overcome her adversities. Absolutely.
Definitely. You know,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
In the last 8 minutes that we have, I wanted to let you know, you really called it for everyone that's out there. Each of the International Mastermind Association groups, each group hosts a call for the entire month. And Michael, you in the youth group, you guys, because a couple of times there were only males on the call, You all really held it down very nicely during the month of May when you had your call. And when we started this month and we were kind of agonizing, I and another young lady were agonizing over the call, and you said, oh, the first time is, you know, you get a little bit nervous, and the second time is just a little bit better, and the third time you're in the groove. And by the last call, you almost don't want it to be over. You don't want your turn to end, per se. And I can attest that this has been a really great experience. This has been a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun in Mastermind and the Mastermind Association and masterminding as we engage and meet new people. And the Fred of Youth, one of my favorite words, enthralled. I love that word. And I've had a really great time being on the show and listening to different people and hearing from people and learning about the whole Blog Talk Radio experience. And I'm grateful to, of course, my mother for more reasons than 100, and for the organization, and to you also, Michael, for being such a great mastermind partner. So I am sad to see our month end. Again, if anyone from the Anointed Mastermind group would like to come on and share with our listening audience what you'll be touching on for the month of August, the best month in the year, then we welcome you to do that. So I just wanted to add that in our last couple of minutes.
Thank you, Mel. Definitely touches my heart to know that. I appreciate you as a mastermind partner. So you have been awesome. You've definitely helped me a lot in a lot of areas in my life, and I'm excited, you know, to keep moving forward and progressing with everything that we've been doing up to this point. So any anyone from the group that is going to be jumping on next month, you guys are definitely on the call. We'd like to open your lines up if you have anything to say, any comments you'd like to add in, or you know, any type of previews you can give us for what's coming up next month. Please don't hesitate to press 1. We will open your lines up.
Again, we're talking about Chapter 6 of the...
Excuse me, Danelle. Excuse me, Danelle. Yeah, on behalf of the Anointed Masterminders, I did speak with Beatrice on yesterday, and she did say that they will be promoting the mid-year conference during their call, and they will be doing a spiritual week, a health week, and they'll be walking through the different categories each week that they're on their show, but the main focus will be to promote the International Mastermind Conference at the end of this week on the 18th of August in Boca Raton. So I just wanted to just say that because they're not on, and I didn't want to miss that opportunity to share right before you wrap up. And again, thank you to both of you. You've done a wonderful month, and of course, as you already know, if you Google Mastermind, along with you and the Freda, y'all come up number one. So thank you so very much for everything you've done. And also, thanks for just having a dream. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you. So there we have it. You'll be hearing from the Anointed Mastermind Group for the month of August, and they will be talking about the mid-year conference even more than I have. So be sure to listen in and join them. And join us on August 18th, Boca Raton, for the International Masterminders Association Mid-Year Conference.
Absolutely. And for everyone who is still on the call, we would like to let you guys know that this call has been brought to you by the International Masterminders Association. You're listening to the International Mastermind Association, and we have been exploring the book, Think and Grow Rich, by Napoleon Hill. And we will continue to do so every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on www.blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and all the other shows anytime that you wish on the web, or join us live by calling into the show at 661-554-9219. Once again, that number is 661-554-9219. And we'd like to thank everyone for jumping on the call as we've been discussing the book Think and Grow Rich, the original version, Restored and Revised by Napoleon Hill. And I also like for everyone on the call to take a moment, if you can, to visit the website www.homebasebusinessloophole.com. Once again, that is my website. It is www.homebasebusinessloophole.com. Thank you. Absolutely. So, Danelle, you know, before we wrap up this call, do you have any closing comments that you'd like to make?
Sorry about that. In addition to the ones that I just made, well, I have learned a lot in this experience in the time that we've hosted and read, and not just read, but also talked about and answered questions as it related to the book. Again, I am grateful for the experience. I've learned a lot. I've been able to dialogue with some really great people and exchange even greater ideas. And we have some excellent things that are in the works, in the making, and I'm excited about them, and I'm excited to be able to share them at a future time. I know that in order for us to really do the things that our hearts and our minds are set on doing, we need to have desire, we need to have faith, we need to be able to keep our minds in order to do what we're supposed to do, to keep them clean per se. Using our creative imagination and to organize our plans in a systematic way that allows for the progression and for those plans to come in fruition. So while we have 4 seconds left. We thank you and bid you well.
Hey, Danielle?
Yes.
Hi, you have someone in queue that has a question.
I don't have a question. This is Imelda. I just wanted to make a comment. I really enjoyed the show today. I'm glad I listened in. I have not been listening since our show. We host the show in May. The group that I'm a part of is with Nefreda, a group called Call to Conquer. But I'm so glad I listened in today. I really enjoyed the show, and you guys keep up the good work. I'm sorry that I did not start with you all at the beginning of this month, but I will continue to listen in. If you all have one more Saturday, or is this your last Saturday?
Yeah, this is
last. Oh, okay. Well, I'm so glad I joined the call today, and I really enjoyed the show.
But you can
I just want to make a comment.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And you can always download previous shows also.
Yeah, I will. I will go back and listen. But I just wanted to let you all know that you did a great job today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And with that, we are out of time. Thank you all for calling, and thank you all for adding to our month.
All right, everybody. Take care. Have a good one.